On today's program, we'll look at the visit of the Blessed Mother to Elizabeth, and we'll also take a look at how the Lord will stop at nothing to reach out to the lost sheep. Stay right where you are. We start now. Hey there, welcome. Come on in, make yourself at home. My name is Gary Zimak. I'm going to be here with you for the next 30 minutes. So glad that you could stop by the program today. We will, as I promised in the opening of the show, during the course of this program, look at the Blessed Mother's visit to Elizabeth. Because today is Thursday, that's the day I like to call Mother's Day. Here on the Gary Zimak Show, we look at the life of the Blessed Mother. We're going to look at her visit to Elizabeth. Last week we looked at the Annunciation when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and asked her on behalf of God to become the mother of the Savior. Today we'll look at what happened immediately after that. Mary set out for the hill country to visit Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant. We'll take a closer look at the what is known as the Magnificat, which was Mary's response to the praise that she got from Elizabeth. We can learn a lot by looking at the words of the Blessed Mother. And of course, we'll look at the daily Mass readings today, Thursday of the 31st week in ordinary time. And in the Gospel, we'll hear the message, a clear message that the Lord will stop at nothing to pursue the lost sheep. Now, I consider myself to be one of those lost sheep for many years, so I am extremely grateful that the Lord never stopped looking out for me, and he kept searching. He kept knocking on my door, even though I ignored him for a long time. But he was persistent, and he will be persistent. And, you know, I think there's a lesson there, because sometimes we tend to give up on people. The Lord never gives up on anybody. Let's keep that in mind when it comes to our family members, our friends, people who may not be where we are when it comes to faith. We need to try to be patient with them just as the Lord is patient with us. And, you know, that's hard. That's a hard thing to do, especially once we feel that we have arrived at a good relationship with the Lord. We're in a good place. We want our loved ones to obviously be in the same place because we know it's good for them. And we can get frustrated when they're not there. Let's try to be patient with them. Let's ask the Lord for patience and the strength to be able to treat them as he treats each one of us. Really glad to be back here as we count down the remaining few weeks before our Advent retreat. And I will let you know on tomorrow's program what we'll be doing for the Advent retreat. Pretty much the way it'll work is this. From Monday through Friday, the program will air. It'll still be 30 minutes each night. We will look at the daily Mass readings, because the reason I absolutely want to do this, to do the daily Mass readings, is twofold. Number one, I want to give you a taste of God's Word every day. You need to hear directly from the Lord, his inspired Word. And that's what Sacred Scripture is. But also the reason that I choose to do the readings from daily Mass is because throughout the Advent season, the Church gives us a great assortment of readings which are designed specifically to help us to prepare to welcome the Lord. And we talked about this on last night's show. We talked about it the night before. We sometimes make the mistake during the Advent season to not prepare for the coming of the Savior because we think, well, he already arrived 2,000 years ago and there's really nothing I can do. So instead what we do is prepare for Christmas. There's nothing wrong with preparing for Christmas, but we want to make sure that we use the Advent season to prepare to welcome the Lord, to do those things that are necessary to become closer friends with the Lord, to welcome him more deeply into our lives. That's what we're going to do on this retreat. I'm not going to make it too tough. It's not going to be overly difficult for you to participate. And in fact, you're not even going to have to go anywhere, and it's not going to cost you anything. We will be able to do the retreat right here on the air, and I really think you'll enjoy it. I'm going to make it beneficial for you, but I'm not going to make you work excessively because, honestly, it is a busy time of year. And I want to get you coming back each day, even though it's only 30 minutes. If it gets too difficult, then you might not want to be able to show up. You might not feel you can show up to do this retreat. So I want to make it as easy for you as possible. But again, I will let you know tomorrow what I'll be doing. It'll basically be sharing some readings. I have a book. I have to dig it out. I have the book in mind that I want to use. Once I get it out, once I can assure myself that I can find it, then that's what we'll do. I don't want to tell you what we'll do before I can actually find the book. You know what I'm saying? Just want to be safe there. But anyway, so let's get started with prayers. I do want to mention that if you need to contact me, my email address is gary@followingthetruth.com, gary@followingthetruth.com. And if you would like to invite me to speak at your parish, if you'd like to check on ordering one of my books or one of my recordings, I do have recordings of my most popular talks. And my main topic has always been overcoming anxiety. So if you're someone who tends to be a bit of a worrier, I would invite you to visit my website, followingthetruth.com, to check out my line of books and recordings. Have CDs, MP3 downloads. We will soon be having some DVDs as well. We're going to be recording some talks when I visit Louisiana in another month or so. No, actually, less than a month now. So stay tuned for that. Once those get recorded, they will be posted on the internet, and we'll make them available to be purchased for through DVDs. This is something that I wanted to do for a long time, and it's going to come to fruition, hopefully, God willing, very soon. All right, ready to get started? Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. We're very grateful. We're very grateful for the many blessings that you have given to us in our lives, the gift of a new day, the fact that the sun did rise this morning, a further sign that you haven't given up on humanity yet. Thank you for that, Father. Please help us to understand what role that you have for us this day. Let us know what we can do to serve you, to bring others closer to you. Help us to continually reach out to the lost sheep around us, the people who may not really know you, the people who may have fallen away from you. Help us to do what we can to bring them back. And we ask you to give us the strength to do that. Father, we ask that you bless us, to bless our family members, to bless all of those around us. We ask you to be especially with the sick, the lonely, those who are struggling with anxiety or doubt or despair, those who may be dealing with financial difficulties or religious persecution, as well as extreme weather conditions. We ask you to help all of them. And we also give you praise for your great deeds. Everything that you've done from the creation of the world to the little things that you do in our lives each day, that warrants our thanks, that warrants our praise, because you are amazing, Father, and we honor you, we give you glory, and we bow down before you this day. We present to you also our own personal needs and intentions, and I give you this program, and I ask you, Father, to speak through me this day, and please open our minds and our hearts so that we may be receptive to your message. And we ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We now turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers as together we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. By the way, one thing that pops into my head, if you are familiar with the St. Andrew Novena, it's a very popular devotion that begins, it's a novena that begins every November 30th, and it runs right through Christmas Day. We're going to be praying that here in Advent as well. That's part of the tradition. There's a pious tradition that states that any intention you pray for during the Saint, during the Saint Andrew Novena will come true. You know, I'm not big on superstition. I don't like doing things that border on superstition. But I'll tell you this: this is a very popular devotion. It's something that's very well accepted. It's not anything radical or controversial. But I'll tell you, I have seen the miraculous take place through this novena. It is amazing. That's all I can say. We're going to do it here. So if you got an impossible intention in your life, we're going to lift it up during the Advent season. So that's one more thing we're going to do during the retreat. Okay, so I hope you can join me. It's brief. It's not a very long prayer. I'll make it a point to put it on my website, and I'll let you know when we get started with that. Tonight's beverage du jour. Here we go. I almost took too big of a sip, and I almost started coughing. That wouldn't be good. What I have, this is new today, I have a cup of Donut Shop coffee. The flavor is called Holiday Buzz. This is a, Holiday Buzz. I know, I never saw this one before. This is a special blend that the makers of Donut Shop coffee put out during the Christmas season. Of course, they don't say Christmas, they call it holiday. But we know what it's like in the world, right? We can't mention Christmas. But anyway, good stuff, good stuff. Now, I do have my Mystic Monk coffee on the way, so I'll let you know when that arrives. I want to call your attention to one more thing, since we are about to enter into the Christmas season. You might be doing some shopping. I have an I have an Amazon store on my website. If you go to followingthetruth.com and click on the donate page, you'll see, if you scroll down the page, you'll see a link to my Amazon store. If you plan to buy anything from Amazon.com, I would greatly appreciate if you entered into Amazon.com using that link. Now, you're still going to get the same prices. Nothing will change there. But the fact that you use the link on my website means that I will get a very small percentage of any purchase that you make. And that really helps me out. So again, if you're able to do that, I would appreciate it. There is no difference for you. Just instead of typing Amazon.com, just go to followingthetruth.com, go to the donate page, and you'll see a little image at the very bottom of the page for my Amazon store. Just click on that, and boom, you go into Amazon.com. Nothing will look different to you, but the fact that you came from my website tells the folks at Amazon that I can get a percentage out of anything you purchase. And that really, you know, it's a small percentage, but it really helps me to keep things operational. So I would greatly appreciate that. And if you could let your friends and family know, especially if they plan to shop from Amazon.com anyway, that would be a very helpful thing for me. So I thank you in advance for that. Let's look at these readings now. First reading, once again, is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 14, verses 7 through 12. Brothers and sisters, none of us lives for oneself, and no one dies for oneself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this is why Christ died and came to life, that he might be Lord of both the living and the dead. Why then do you judge your brother or sister? Or you, why do you look down on your brother or sister? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bend before me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. This is a very good first reading, and I think it ties in nicely with the gospel today. None of us lives for oneself. We belong to the Lord. For if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. We are the Lord's. In other words, he owns us. He created us. We belong to him. And I think that's a really wonderful thought. It's a very comforting thought. And in the gospel, you'll see what lengths the Lord will go to save us from ourselves, from destruction, from the many problems that we get ourselves into. He loves us. He will continue to reach out for us. And he will always do whatever he can to bring us back. And the second part of this reading reminds us of the importance of not judging one another. Now, certainly, if somebody does something wrong, you can recognize an action that might not be good, that might not be healthy, but we cannot condemn anyone. We cannot condemn anyone saying that they are not going to make it to heaven, that they're beyond hope. Nobody is. There is no such thing as a lost cause when it comes to the Lord, and we're going to see that in the gospel. This is just a reminder. The way this reading ends, so then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Remember that one day we're all going to stand before the Lord and be judged. Just be careful that you're in a good position when you're before him. And if we start judging other people, if we give up on our brothers and sisters, those around us, then we are going to have to explain to the Lord why we didn't try. Why we didn't try to become more patient with them. Why we didn't try to continue to reach out to them. Even if it means getting rejected. Even if it means being resisted. We're going to have to be accountable. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 27. This is one of my favorites. I believe that I shall see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze on the loveliness of the Lord and contemplate his temple. I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. Man, there is so many good concepts embedded in Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? Good question. If the Lord is our light, if he lights our path, and he's our salvation is found through him, then whom should I fear? There is no good answer to that question. The only answer that I can think of is nobody. We shouldn't fear anybody. The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? And then the psalm shifts a little bit. One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek. To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. How serious are you about getting to heaven? Are you willing to do whatever it takes, including praying for the grace to be patient with the people that drive you crazy? Do you really want to get to heaven? Is this the one thing you seek, or do you seek something else? Now, for many of us, this is a combination. We think, yeah, we seek the Lord, absolutely, but we like a little bit of recognition. We like a little bit of comfort. Some extra money is good. I mean, there are times when we put things before the Lord. And the good news is that you are still alive. You can fix that. You know, this is why the Advent season is a good time for us, because we can fix some of these problem areas. I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage. Wait for the Lord with courage, right? We don't like to wait. But do we wait for the Lord? Can we learn to wait for the Lord with courage? Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. Sometimes he doesn't act as quickly in our life as we would like. Can we give him a chance? Can we pray for the patience to let him work according to his schedule, not our schedule? The Gospel, Luke 15, verses 1 through 10. The tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus addressed this parable to them. "What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he set it on his shoulders with great joy, and upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." That's an important concept. It really is. And, you know, there's two different ways we can look at this. Number one, you might be that lost sheep right at this moment in time. Don't give up. Don't give up, because the Lord will continue to grant you his mercy. The only thing that can stop that mercy is the fact that you don't ask for it and that you're not willing to repent. In other words, you're the only one who can stop the Lord from forgiving the sins that you are committing in your life. Take advantage of the mercy of the Lord. It's a great deal. And on the other hand, we look at this to address all of the people in our lives who we may be frustrated with. We may not want to reach out to these people. Well, if the Lord will do whatever it takes to reach out to everyone in need, those people who may have cut themselves off from him, who may have headed in the wrong direction, if he's going to do that, then certainly we've got to be willing to do the same thing too. Always good to keep that in mind. The Lord always will reach out to the lost sheep. He will never stop. So let's continue to do the same thing, to continue to reach out to those around us, and let's be patient with them, and let's give them a chance to get to know the Lord. We've got to bring people along gradually. It doesn't generally happen overnight. Many people are turned off by religion. Many people, things have happened, and for whatever reason, they're not willing to give the Lord a chance to work in their life. So we've got to bring them along gradually. If the Lord's willing to do that, then let's do the same thing. Okay, that's the message for today. I want to continue. And by the way, if you have any questions about this, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. I want to talk now about Mary's visit to Elizabeth. Now, you may know this, you may not know this. My second book was about the Blessed Mother. It's called Listen to Your Blessed Mother, Mary's Words in Scripture. The reason I wrote the book was to talk about or to address all of the appearances of our Blessed Mother in the Bible, when she spoke and when she didn't speak as well. Because so many Christians don't understand the very basic details about the life of the Blessed Mother. I just wanted to start there. I wanted to start with a strictly biblical account of Mary's life as recorded in the pages of Scripture. So if you're interested, Listen to Your Blessed Mother is available. It was published by Liguori Books. You can find out more by visiting followingthetruth.com. But I want to talk about the visitation. This can be found in the first chapter of Luke's Gospel. And essentially, immediately after finding out that she was chosen to become the mother of the Savior and saying yes, Mary became pregnant with the Savior, Jesus Christ. Mary took off for the hill country. In those days, Luke chapter 1, verse 39, Mary arose and went with haste. In other words, she was in a hurry into the hill country to a city of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." If this sounds familiar, that's right. It's from the Hail Mary. That's where we get that line. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. So Elizabeth, the mother of St. John the Baptist, affirms that Mary believed the angel's message. That's a powerful endorsement. She's commenting on the fact that Mary believed the message of the angel, and she's giving the Blessed Mother a series of compliments. Now, Mary, in her humility, and this is what I wanted to talk about tonight, Mary, in her humility, she realizes that all of the blessings in her life come from the Lord. Mary gets it. She knows that she's conceived without sin. She knows that she never sinned. But Mary also realizes that God has blessed her, that she didn't do any of this on her own. And those of us who are close to the Blessed Mother, we love this quality about her, because so many times we start to feel, even though it's a subconscious thing most times, we start to feel that we're good because we work really hard. We're good because we try. Or, you know, we neglect the fact that it's because God gives us the grace. But Mary understood that. And Mary said, and this prayer that she proclaims has become known as the Magnificat. And here we go. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And yes, Mary did need a Savior. Mary was redeemed in advance. This is a one-time privilege. Mary was redeemed in advance because, remember, God is outside of time and space. He can certainly do that. Mary was redeemed before she was conceived in order that she would be a worthy mother of the Savior. So Mary, don't let anybody ever tell you that Catholics, or this proves that Catholics are wrong because it says in the Bible that Mary needed a Savior. Yeah, we agree. Mary did need a Savior. Does that mean she was not sinless? No, that doesn't mean that. It means that she was saved in advance. Mary needed a Savior. For, and she, Blessed Mother continues, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. From behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. So we do call her the Blessed Virgin Mary. She got that one right. She talks about the low estate of her handmaiden, of his handmaiden. In other words, Mary realizes just how much greater God is than she is. She understands her place. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Now there's somebody that's very thankful. She appreciates the great things the Lord has done for her. And holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Remember I talked about the mercy of the Lord. If we don't acknowledge that he's God, this is what this fear means. And if we don't acknowledge that we need his help, and if we don't acknowledge that we need to do something to be able to exceed, to receive his mercy, then it won't happen. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones. So if we are proud, if we start to think too highly of ourselves, then we're going to really cut off the great mercy of the Lord because we don't give him a chance to work in our lives. But he has exalted those of low degree. So if we're humble, then the Lord can work in our lives. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his posterity forever. So in other words, Mary looks back. This is a good thing for us to do. Mary looks back and acknowledges the great things that the Lord has done for his people through the years. If we do that, if we look through back through salvation history, we're going to see just how many times the Lord was there for his people. And you will not find one time when he deserted his people, even though his people deserted him numerous times. But furthermore, if we look in our own lives, we're going to see so many occasions where the Lord was there for us. I tell you, there have been many times in my life that I was lost, but I was able to see the Lord work in my life when I was at a point where things looked very bleak. As a matter of fact, I saw it happen last night. We had an incident around here that really allowed the Lord to shine big time today. When we look back on these things, this is how our faith grows. When we see him work in our lives, our faith grows because we realize just the great things that he can do and has done for us. Well, I am just about out of time now. I want to thank you for tuning into the program. Tomorrow we will close out the week with our Friday doubleheader. We'll take a look at the hidden power of kindness. We'll look at the Mass readings for this Sunday's Mass, and I'll let you know more about the Advent retreat. I plan to be here, God willing, and I really hope that you'll be able to join me. If you have questions, remember, Gary@followingthetruth.com. Have yourself a wonderful night. Thanks for tuning in, and God bless you.